Now, as far as the extramural, that means outside the wall of the hospital, the functions of the hospital are concerned, one is outpatient services, where we have got OPD services in all the hospitals, where all the specialists, super specialists, doctors are available, where without admission, these patients are treated by providing them the right kind of investigations to know exactly what they are suffering, by then diagnosing and then giving them preventive aspect of making the disease less amenable to worsening, and giving them the right kind of treatment whereby they can be treated at home rather than they need admission in the hospital. So, the number of days of admissions in the hospital will be minimized, and there are certain daycare services also available, and that's increasing day by day. For example, earlier days, angiography, people were admitted for 2-3 days. Now it is a daycare procedure. Most of the laparoscopic surgeries are now making daycare procedures for the patients rather than being admitted in a hospital for 3 days, 5 days, 11 days, like that. So, daycare center, then home care services are also available, where if we feel the patient can be treated at home instead of making him lie down in the hospital, maybe some IV fluids or IV injections can be given by nurses, where home care services also can be given, and outreach services in the form of medical camps, community camps, screening camps, etc., one can give. And there can be mobile clinic, where a mobile van can go to the community and the patients can be called there in the mobile van by the consultants, doctors, who can examine them, who can take their history, then who can treat them at the door. So, mobile clinics and daycare center are increasing day by day, as we know, in the hospital practice. So, these are some of the extramural services of the hospital. Now, let's understand the concept of prevention of disease. There can be primary prevention, there can be secondary prevention, there can be tertiary prevention. Health promotion, health education, these are the important aspects of prevention. As far as the primary prevention is concerned, what we can do is immunize the person so that the person doesn't get the disease. Well, we know that for any kind of injury, and in children, even for infection of the ear, where a pus is coming from the ear, we say otitis media. In children below 5 years of age or below 10 years of age, they should be given injection tetanus toxoid. Every pregnant woman should be given 2 injection tetanus toxoid. So, these are all immunizations. There are 6 primary diseases which we have started immunizing all over India in the form of BCG for tuberculosis, oral polio vaccine for polio, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, then came measles, then came MMR, that is measles, mumps, rubella, and more diseases are now being treated by giving immunizations. For example, now we are using typhoid oral vaccine or injectable vaccine for typhoid also. We are using for influenza also, vaccines are available. Especially these are being used for immunocompromised patients when they are having HIV or those who have got organ transplantations, because they are using a lot of steroids to prevent rejection of these organs, whereby their immunity level goes down. So, these people require certain specific immunizations, for example, influenza, for example, pneumonia, even meningococcal vaccines are available for meningitis in case of children. So, lot of vaccines are coming up for immunizing children as well as adults. So, this all comes under primary prevention, whereby a person will not suffer from this disease at all. Use of specific nutrients, for example, iron to prevent iron deficiency anemia. Indian women are very prone to getting anemia because they do not have the right kind of food. They are not getting enough of iron. Secondly, there are some misconceptions of habits of taking tea or coffee just after taking meals, whereby whatever iron is coming in the meals also partially it is not being absorbed because of the tannin caffeine, etc., especially tannin, which is there in tea as well as in coffee, and hence the absorption of these elements do not, elemental iron does not occur, and hence it furthers the anemia. Secondly, natural cycle, menstrual cycle is there, where a woman is going to lose some blood, so she needs more iron to prevent getting anemia. And unfortunately, in Indian culture, a woman usually eats last after the whole family has been fed, and whatever remains she takes, so naturally they are going to consume less of nutrients in their food. So iron fortified bread, iron fortified atta, all these things are coming up today. Similarly, in endemic areas where we have seen the patient sub-Himalayan region and all, where we have seen people suffering from thyroid, where there is an iron iodine deficiency, and hence the government has started selling iodized salt. Now most of the salt available in India is iodized salt, so that iodine deficiency, thyroid problems do not occur, leading to hypothyroidism do not occur. Then comes protection against occupational hazards and accidents. As we know, every occupation has got some or the other hazard. If a person is welding, he can get archae. If a person is having grinding, it is sandblasting industry and all, he can inhale silica, which can lead to silicosis. Earlier days we were using asbestosis, which has now been banned, which again can lead to even cancer of lung, mesothelioma and various other problems. So to prevent these things, what we can do? We can have good general ventilation, we can have exhaust hood, whereby directly those fibers will be sucked up, so that it doesn't come in the inhaling zone of the worker. Similarly, when a person is exposed to noise, one can have lot of hearing conservation program in the form of the right kind of administrative uses by sound absorbents, by providing them ear muffs or ear plugs. Ear plug is going to reduce the decibel level by 15 to 25 decibel, ear muffs is going to reduce it by 25 to 40 decibel. That's how, as the Factories Act, one should have 85 decibel as the environmental sound level, not beyond that. So one can always try to prevent those problems to the patients by taking occupational hazards, first identifying those hazards and then preventing them. One can have safety guards for the machines to prevent the accidents. One can have the safety shoes, so that the fracture doesn't occur when something falls on the leg. One can have the right kind of housekeeping. So various kinds of measures can be taken to prevent occupational hazards and accidents. And of course, by giving them the right kind of health safety education, people can prevent the disease as far as possible. Then comes secondary prevention. What we mean by secondary prevention, that means we are trying to prevent it once there is some chance of getting it already. So we can do health screening. Well, how we can prevent a disease? By worsening it, one can say. So earlier days we have screened many of the patients by taking x-rays, miniature x-rays, because tuberculosis is very rampant in India. So early stage of the disease can be diagnosed and then treated. Similarly, pap smear for females can be taken regularly once the woman crosses the age of 35, so that early stage of cancer cervix can be diagnosed and treated, whereby it becomes curable. So health screening, for example, after 40, if everybody goes for annual checkup and he goes for the stress test, one can know if it is positive for inducible ischemia to the heart. He can undergo angiography, and then if required, angioplasty with stent or bypass, so that before he gets a heart attack, he is getting it cured in a way. He can prevent heart attack. So annual medical examinations has got the importance for preventing various problems. For example, if PSA is very high, one can think of prostate cancer and then do further investigations. If one examines by ultrasonography abdomen, pelvis, etc., one can know if there are any abnormalities in the scan. One can find out whether there are any tubal ovarian masses or any changes in the uterus of the woman, or in case of prostate, if it is too much enlarged, if there is a abnormal thing in the urinary bladder, there can be bladder stone or there can be cancer of bladder, etc. So all these things can be found out earlier by regular medical examinations and surveillance of group of people. If we do for specific diseases, for example, if some people are genetically prone because their parents are having the disease at an early stage, if a mother is having cancer of breast at an early stage, the sibling, her sister or her daughters are likely to get. So one can screen them often by doing mammosonography regularly to find out earliest chances of getting breast cancer, and then it can be treated. So this is how one can, certain specific group of people can be screened. For example, there are some communities in the form of Parsis and Lohanas where they are more prone to get thalassemia minor. So if you diagnose thalassemia minor, you can say that a boy having thalassemia minor should not marry a girl having thalassemia minor, whereby if they develop children in future, at least 1 in 4 will become thalassemia major case, where the child will require every 15 days blood transfusion. So one can prevent that kind of thing. So genetic counseling is required. If one woman has got a Down syndrome baby, her sister should check it when she becomes pregnant to prevent the birth of a Down syndrome child. So this is how one can do genetic counseling. This is how one can do screening in secondary prevention also. Then comes elements of preventive health can be in the form of communicable diseases. For example, for tuberculosis, we say always wear the mask if a person is having sputum positive AFB, or let him take rest. In case of viral diseases in the form of, say, chickenpox, etc., we tell a person to stay at home for 10 days, whereby he cannot spread it to others. So in case of communicable diseases, conjunctivitis also, if it is severe, we say that a person should take rest for at least a week or so. Then in case of maternal health, one should regularly check. The mother should take at least 2 injection tetanus toxoid at the earliest, at the interval of 4 to 6 weeks. Regular checkup of the urine, blood pressure, etc. should be done to know the early case of preeclampsia to prevent any problems in future. If she is diabetic, again she has to take regular treatment so that the fetus is not adversely affected. If she is HIV positive, then definitely she should take regular treatment, and once the child is born also, he should be given treatment for that. So accordingly, one can take the care of maternal child health. For child health, of course, we are giving various kinds of immunizations. At the birth, we put the eye drop in the eye to prevent the gonococcal infection of the conjunctivitis and all. Then there are non-communicable diseases in the form of diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, cancer, and so many others. So one can take care of these problems by giving them health education or finding out the earliest cases of that. So one should maintain weight. Simplest thing is, one can say that the height of a person, a male, in feet and inches, and then just add 10 as a thumb rule. If a person's height is 5 feet 8 inches, 5 and 8 put together, 58 plus 10 will be 68 for a male, and 5 feet 8 inches girl, her ideal weight should be 58 only. So once we have this kind of simple formulas to be followed, one can take care of one's weight. And as we know, obesity, when a person's weight is 30% beyond the ideal body weight, he or she is likely to suffer from high blood pressure 10 times as compared to normal weight person, 3 times more chances of getting diabetes, 3 times more chances of getting heart attack, even gallstones and osteoarthritis of the knee, etc. So there are multiple problems related to obesity. So one can prevent that by controlling the weight at the earliest, once we know these kind of problems. So nutrition counseling will help us in reducing the obesity. As we know, in today's world, most of the children are also becoming obese because of the habits they are developing of couch potatoes in the form of munching lot of junk food in front of TV, playing video games and all, hardly any outdoor activities, and all these things are increasing day by day, whereby even at the age of 24 and 26 we are getting heart attacks. So one can understand, to prevent such things, nutrition counseling is very important. And then comes central surveillance, whereby you can develop data regarding various diseases all over the world, and then find out what are the risk factors in that particular locality where we are getting more number of such cases, why they are suffering from this particular problem, and then we can collate and then find out and do research on that, and then how that is going to help us in how to prevent these kinds of problems in future. So as far as the health promotion is concerned, these are the various things we learn. One is growth monitoring in case of children by growth charts, percentile. The charts are available whereby we can know whether the child's growth is occurring as properly or not. As far as the physical health is concerned, that the weight is increasing, say the child's weight should be double the birth weight at the age of 4 months or triple at the age of 1 year, then it should rise proportionately as the age increases. So whether it is becoming proper or not. Similarly, mental milestones, one can see whether a person, whether the child is smiling at the right age, whether the child is able to hold the head at the right age, whether the child is turning around at the right age, whether the child is able to stand, whether the child is able to walk at the right age. So one can gradually, every month one can check by the growth chart, by the milestone charts, the pediatrician can judge whether the child's growth and milestones are proper or not, and if they are not, they can then give them the right kind of physiotherapy if required, speech therapy if required, etc. Similarly, immunization against various diseases, we have seen BCG for tuberculosis, OPV for polio, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus against these diseases, DPT. So we give at birth OPV plus BCG. At 1.5 months we give OPV plus DPT. At 2.5 months, 3.5 months we give OPV plus DPT. Nowadays even hepatitis B is given at 1.5, 2.5 and 3.5 months. And then at 1.5 year, again booster dose of the same, and the 9 months measles and 15 months MMR. So immunization is also very important. Then marriage counseling. As we know, people are having lot of mental problems after marriage, because love at first sight is more common, infatuation is more common in today's world, rather than the mental compatibility of them, the understanding which is required. So marriage counseling is going to help us in choosing the right marriage partner. Then mental counseling is required for many people, because nowadays people are becoming more and more materialistic, they are becoming more and more lonely. We have seen people, husband and wife sitting together and then just observing their own mobile phone. They hardly talk to each other. The days are coming where people are becoming more and more lonely. So we need mental counseling. As we know, in America, 1/3 of people require psychiatric help. So because of the culture that is there, because of the so much of individuality, materialism, hardly any spirituality, all these things are affecting the mind of people, and hence we need mental counseling to prevent such problems, mental problems. Then diet counseling, as I told you, for obesity, for getting the right kind of balanced nutritious diet. And Well Baby Clinic will monitor the baby day by day to know whether the development of the child is proper or not. And then comes occupational counseling, will help us in preventing various occupational health problems in the form of diseases and accidents. And this is how one can go for various kinds of programs for health promotion. Then let's understand the various elements of health education. Personal health and hygiene is very important to prevent disease. Always wash your hands before eating. Always wash your hands after going to toilet. Always wash your hands once you come from your home, rather take bath, because there can be various dirt, chemicals in your industry which are there. Always cut your nails regularly, so that no chemicals will remain below your nails, which you are going to eat, it is going to get accumulated in your body. There are cases of lead poisoning because of that. Those who are working in battery and all, earlier days we were using lead. Nowadays lead free petrol is available. There are people who are addicted to petrol smell. So when the leaded petrol was available, we have seen lead toxicity in these people who are addicted to lead petrol. Lead can lead to kidney failure, lead can lead to anemia, lead can lead to wrist drop, foot drop, it can lead to encephalopathy, which is adverse effect on the brain. So one can understand what can happen. Those who are in chromium factories where chromium, hexavalent chromium is used, they can get nasal perforation, they can get knuckles of the fingers to be affected adversely by that. And even cancer is known for hexavalent chromium and all. So one should take care of personal hygiene, very important. So wash your hands thoroughly, take care of your nasal secretions, urine, stool, clean them thoroughly well after passing stool or urine. Brush ideally after every meal, but at least morning and at night before sleeping, because and then one can have the special brushes available. One can do scaling of the teeth every 6 months to prevent problems, and flossing is also required to be done to prevent the food particles getting entangled between the two teeth. Then comes environmental sanitation, one has to take care of by properly disposing of garbage, etc. Otherwise lot of bad odor will be there and lot of adverse effect can occur, especially if you are going to throw anything and everything in and around where you are staying. One can understand lot of rodents will come, lot of bees will come, lot of cockroaches will come, and they are going to create lot of problems for you by giving you various kinds of diseases, because they are going from one place to other, and there can be material which is diseased in the form of urine, stool, etc. Then family welfare is also equally important to give the health education in the form of the cohesiveness of the family members, in the form of the understanding of the teenage mentality, in the form of preventing the child aggressiveness, or if the child is aggressive, by handling him in such a way, by making him music friendly, or by sending him for outdoor games, etc., whereby his aggression can be taken care of, so that one can develop good relations with each other. One can become very friendly with their parents also, and then discuss whatever emotional problems they are having. So this kind of family welfare, even marital counseling, is also equally important, whereby the husband and wife relationship can be taken care of. And of course family planning is also required in India, so even that kind of health education can be given. Then balanced nutritious diet, where good amount of proteins, carbohydrates, fats, multivitamins, minerals, etc. are available in the right proportion, in the right amount of calories requirement for the person based on his type of work, whether it is sedentary work, whether it is heavy work, etc. And taking care of mental health of a person by knowing the emotions of people, by knowing the feelings of people. So one should know the emotional quotient of a person, which is very important. Emotional intelligence is very important in our world. As we know, IQ gives you only 30% success in your life, but it is EQ, and now we are even talking about spiritual quotient, which is much more important as compared to IQ, which is probably required almost 70% for your remaining part of success in your life. So one can give the right kind of education to people in various forms, and that is going to help us in progressing a lot. So let's understand the concept of primary health center. 1946, Bohr committee has given us this concept. Every 5-year health plan has been done after we became independent. And in these plans, we have come across the concept of taking care of the people, even in villages, and where we have seen the concept of primary health care. So, what are the basic elements of primary health care? One is adequate nutrition. So, here the staff of these people are going to teach the village people regarding what we mean by adequate nutrition. It is not necessary to have very high-fi diet whereby it is going to be very costly. Well, one can have basic diet in the form of jawar, bajra, one can have staple diet also, but in the right proportion. One can have the fruits which are available in your own village daily, the right kind of vegetables available. One can have ghee, where gur is there, which gives a sufficient amount of iron also. So, simple diet can have a balanced diet where all nutrients are available to you. So, the right kind of adequate nutrition where enough of protein, where it is around 1 gram per kg of body weight protein should be given to a person. Right kind of carbohydrates where it is not having too much of high glycemic index. So, sufficient proteins, carbohydrates, fats to the bare minimum, maybe 2 to 3 teaspoonful of oil, ghee, butter, cheese, etc. is enough for us. Then comes various kinds of minerals and multivitamins. So, one should go for sunbathing for getting vitamin D3. In village, it is ample available. One can go for daily brisk walk during morning hours, say 7 to 7:30 or 6:30 to 7 or in the evening around 5:30 to 6 and all, whereby along with it you will get exercise and sunbathing also, which is vital for us. Then one can go for the various fruits and vegetables daily, whereby one can get all the minerals, all the multivitamins required for the body. Then comes safe and adequate water supply. Safe, that means it should be potable water, which is also a problem in many of the villages. So, proper filtration plant, if not available, then to teach the village people what is safe water, potable water. So, chlorination should be done by adding bleaching powder or the chlorine tablet to the water. Proper filtration should be done for the water, etc. So, safe and adequate water supply. Safe waste disposal. Whatever you do, some or the other waste is going to be generated. So, one has to see to it that this waste is disposed in a safe way. It is not going to adversely affect you. Especially in villages, we have seen even toilets are not available. So, people go outside in the fields to pass their stools, which is very bad. So, one has to take care of developing the right kind of shauchalayas, and then making people use that also is important, because they have been used to pass their stools in open fields. So, they may not get initially if they are sent to the toilets also, because of their habit that they have developed. So, one has to concentrate, one has to make them understand the importance of that, one has to tell them that they have to wash their hands after passing stools thoroughly. So, safe waste disposal, even whatever waste is generated in the kitchen and all also, they have to be safely disposed, otherwise rodents will come, cockroaches will come, and they are going to adversely affect them. Provision of adequate drugs and supplies required for that particular village based on the communicable diseases that are prevalent in that locality. Maternal child health and family planning services are extremely important. As we know, mother and child is a unit. Within the womb of the mother, the fetus is developing. Then in villages, usually up to 2 years, the child is being breastfed by the mother. So, it's a unit. So, one has to take care of that mother and child services right from beginning by providing the right nutrition to the mother, by having sufficient of proteins, carbohydrates, iron, because anemia is very common in mothers. And then taking care of the children by giving them, by promoting breastfeeding, not to allow them to take top feed in the form of Nestle powder and other things, because hygiene is not good in villages many times. On the contrary, it can lead to diarrhea for the children. So, promoting breastfeeding, giving them the right kind of education for taking proper immunizations, giving them the right kind of home food in the form of fruits, vegetables, soups, etc. Weaning starting from 4 to 6 months, one can do that. And of course, population is a major problem in India for many years. So especially in villages where they don't believe in family planning, so they have to be taught regarding the importance of family planning. Between the two children, at least 3 years gap should be kept, whereby the mother can be given property. The husband has to take care of by using condom whenever he needed. And then of course, once they have got two children, a mother can undergo laparoscopic sterilization, or the husband can undergo the vasectomy. Nowadays, non-scalpel vasectomy is available, whereby not a single suture is required. So prevention and control of locally endemic diseases, whatever locally endemic diseases are there, that one has to prevent it as far as possible by taking the right measures, and then if they are there, they should be controlled fast by giving the right kind of antibiotics or the drugs for sufficient period of time, whereby the person doesn't develop resistance against this disease and is cured. Diagnosis and treatment of common diseases and injuries should be taken care of by the primary health center. The doctor should be sufficiently competent. He should be having all the required drugs, dressing materials, injections, etc., so that he can take care of common diseases and injuries. At the same time, he should be well conversant with various problems of the locality. He should develop his volunteers. Some of the community participation he can do by developing the volunteers who can then in turn give health education on various requirements of the commonly affected diseases, taking personal hygiene, developing the children, exercise, taking care of the basic hygiene and health of people. All those things can be taught by health education, and they have to supervise them while these people who are taught and trained, whether they are giving it properly or not. Now, let's understand various committees and boards in the hospital administration by managing various kinds of patient care services smoothly. Management board is the topmost thing. Then comes administrative committee, medical committee, quality control committee, medical records committee, theater users committee, infection control committee, purchase and procurement or material management committee, budget committee, who is going to look after the finances of the hospital, professional enhancement committee, who is going to look after the enhancement of the medical profession by giving them continuous medical education. Then pharmacy and therapeutic committee, which is going to take care of various drugs, various kinds of pharmaceuticals. Then cardiopulmonary resuscitation committee, which is going to take care of how to develop the right kind of people for how to give proper CPR to the critically ill patient when the person has stopped breathing and when his heart has stopped working. And blood utilization committee, where transfusion committee is there, blood bank is there, where to utilize, what kind of blood to be given, how grouping cross matching has to be done, how it has to be preserved, how it has to be taken care of, and who should be given what kind of blood. So all these committees are going to help us in properly managing the hospital healthcare services. Now, what is management board basically? It has got 8 to 15 members, where the criteria can be either by nomination or by election or ex officio. Some of the members can be taken by nomination, maybe a CSSD, Central Sterile Supply, if required in case of lot of infections occurring. Then you can elect some of the members, and there are some ex officio like medical director, the finance director, etc. So ex officio members can be chief executive officer, dean of the medical college if it's a teaching institute, medical superintendent, financial director, principal of nursing college if a nursing college is also attached to this hospital. So these are ex officio members. And let's understand what are the various functions of a medical board. One is legal representative. They are taking care of all the law and order of the hospital, as well as they are taking care of the various statutory requirement of the hospital, say Nursing Home Registration Act, in case of ultrasonography machine they are having then the PCN, PNDT Act, etc. Then comes, they are going to develop the mission of the hospital and the goals of the hospital. All the strategic development, all the strategies to be followed in the hospital are going to be developed by management board. They are going to set up the organization. Ultimately, hospital is an organization. So they are going to set up the various departments. They are going to set up the various roles and responsibilities of the people and the interconnections between them, who is going to report to him and how smoothly the hospital is going to run. They are going to develop the various policies in the hospital. It can be HR policies, it can be safety policy, it can be therapeutic policy, antibiotic policy, it can be infection control policy, etc. They are going to develop certain rules and regulations. What are the, as in other industries we have seen Standing Order Act, which gives us what are the rules and regulations of the company, certain standard operating procedures. Then they are going to provide us the various resources required in the form of man, machine, material, money, etc. They are going to overlook the overall quality assurance of the hospital so that patients are attracted towards your hospital to get treated from your hospital doctors. They are going to take care of the utilization of the hospital, the number of beds which are being utilized every day, patient bed ratio. They are going to take care of the health and safety of all the personnel that are being working for the hospital as well as for the patients and their relatives and family members and attendants. So these are the various functions of management board.